Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States in 1961.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no secret is revealed. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
The next 2 minutes is the introduction to the documentary The Hidden Faith of the Founding Fathers by Chris Pinto.
One of America's most important founders was a man named Charles Thompson, who was said to have been closer to the events and people of the American Revolution than any other man of that era. Thompson was the Congressional Secretary from 1774 to 1789, all the way through the Revolution and the establishment of the federal government. He was also the man who made the final decisions for the design of the Great Seal of the United States, which can now be found on the back of America's dollar bill. As the new American Republic was being founded, Thompson made a detailed history of the events that took place during the Revolution and of the men who were being celebrated as heroes across the country. Though he was compelled repeatedly to publish this history, Thompson declined. "No," he said, "I ought not, for I should contradict all the histories of the great events of the Revolution. Let the world admire the supposed wisdom and valor of our great men." He said, "I shall not undeceive future generations." As a result, Thompson eventually destroyed his manuscript, and what may have been the truest account of the American Revolution was lost for all time. It might be said that any serious investigation into America's history should begin with Thompson's story and his decision not to undeceive future generations. What did Thompson mean? What was he hiding? And since we are the future generation, what have we been deceived about?
Greetings and welcome to Mystery Babylon Radio on October 13th, 2013. My name is Walt Stickle and I'll be your host for the next 45 minutes. In the introduction, Charles Thompson said, "No, I ought not to, for I should contradict all the histories of the great events of the Revolution. Let the world admire the supposed wisdom and valor of our great men. I shall not undeceive future generations." Tonight's broadcast is to expose histories of the great events of the Revolution and to expose the supposed wisdom and valor of the framers of the government and to shine the light on this event and find the true meaning and purpose for the American Revolution. What led me to tonight's broadcast? On September 29th, Suzanne Poelzel of Occupy Corporatism was on Lori's Talk News Radio. She is a journalist and a researcher. In the last 20 minutes of the broadcast, she pinned the tail on the donkey by exposing the Jesuits as the top of the New World Order agenda. Then on October 4th, I was a guest on Lori's Talk News Radio. The title of the broadcast was Jesuits' Connection to 1776. To fully understand the topic, I suggest you go back and listen to the broadcast on the Jesuits' connection to 1776. I played an audio of Suzanne exposing the Jesuits also. Now, after this broadcast, I realized how pivotal 1776 was in history and how this year is not fully understood. Because in 1776, it was the birth of the Bavarian Illuminati on May 1st. And then in July, we had the signing of the Declaration of Independence. You see, there is more to 1776 that has not been taught. It has just been left out of history. Now, the goal in this series of broadcasts is to shine the light on the framers, not the founding fathers. In God's word, it says, call no man your father. From the start of this country, it was known that the framers were not Christian. How do we know this? Because if you read the history of these men, they all came out of the Enlightenment. And today, they would be called New Agers. There can be little doubt that Voltaire was the great voice in the 18th century France, the witty, sarcastic, intellectual oracle of the Enlightenment that would lead the French Revolution. It was Voltaire who set the stage for an irrelevant and often mocking view of the Bible and its teachings. Understand, he was trained by the Jesuits. Voltairism leads us back to the Jesuits. I want to go right to the main goal in the series of broadcasts. The Jesuits have been kicked out of 83 countries, but they have never been kicked out of America. Understand, they were suppressed in 1773 and resurfaced in 1776 as the Bavarian Illuminati. The reason they have never been expelled from this country is because they fomented the American Revolution and laid the foundation for this country. This country is a Jesuit nation. It is the only country that they have founded and run from the top to the bottom. How do we know this? Because we can fast forward to 2013, history proves how successful they've been. The word lie is taught by men such as the lies have been taught by men such as Dave Barton that the framers of this country were Christian. This is simply not true. The truth is, this country was founded by the occult and is steeped in occultism. To see this, all we have to do is take an aerial view of Washington, D.C. This is branded right into the street layout like branding cattle. Washington, D.C. is branded into the occultism. Do you suppose that this might anger the God of the Bible when he says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth? Now, let's ask a question. Is the obelisk in our capital, the largest in the world, a Christian symbol, or is it sun worship? Our goal is to incite a spiritual revolution, and that is this broadcast will, and what we want out of this broadcast is to stoke up, fuel, kindle, ignite, inflame a driving desire to research the material that will be covered in the series of the broadcast. Tonight, I have two guests to help shine the light on the dark side of the real true founding of America. Jurk Glissman of Belgium and Wayne Michael of AvenueOfFlight.com. In introducing them, I would like to have them give us a short bio. Good evening, Jurk, and welcome to the broadcast. Just tell us a little on what makes you tick.
Good evening, Walt, and thank you very much for having me on and giving me this opportunity. What makes me tick? That is, that can be explained in 5 minutes and it can be explained in 5 hours. We don't have 5 hours, so I'll go for the 5 minutes. I have been duped like most of the people that I know, or not almost every people that I know around my real life here in Belgium or earlier in Germany, by being born into a matrix that has been set up so viciously that it is very, very difficult to see that you are even in this kind of web, let's say, that you are living. Like, there is a big spider controlling everything, and we are all little flies caught in the net and trying to move on and trying to make our lives, going through kindergarten, going through school, education. I was very much in favor of joining the police force, but then that didn't work out. So I went to the military when I was about 18 years old. And during that military time that I served, I had the chance to get a post in Brussels, Belgium, because I'm originally from Germany, born in Hamburg. And that sounded to me like a great idea to see something, to live in a foreign country and to work for NATO. Because I was so brainwashed, I loved it, being a soldier and having the possibility to work in the headquarters of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization seemed to be very fine. And I got offered a job as deputy bodyguard of a three-star general, also being his driver. So I think there are worse career prosperities that you can have than that. I really liked it, and in the time that I served here, I got to know my wife, who is from Belgium, and I got married, and after the service, instead of going back to Germany, I stayed here, studied here, and I'm a self-employed wine merchant since 1996 and live here in Belgium. And in 2001, more specifically 9/11/2001, I think that is a day that everybody remembers that he has always been. I was in my wine company, and somebody came up from downstairs and told me the New York has been attacked and the towers have been attacked and there are planes flown into it. And a few hours later, the news was the towers collapsed. And at that time, I knew that I read an interview in the 70s of one of the architects who designed these towers and said that there could even be multiple planes flying into that tower that it wouldn't harm them that much. I couldn't believe it. And in the evening, I came home and I watched the pictures of these towers who turned into dust in a matter of seconds because of a plane flying in there. And the problem with this matrix they designed so well for us, or this web they designed so well for us, is that when you see it, you believe it. You don't question it anymore. Even anything, everything in my body told me this couldn't be true. So passing on, a few years later, I was playing snooker with a guy, and we came, it's quite a funny story, but that's for another time. We came to know each other, and he told me about, on another night, do you really think these towers collapsed in 10 seconds just by two planes? And I said, okay, I have to question that. And that led me to Alex Jones's site, Infowars.com, who is probably for a lot of people who have no idea in what kind of world they really are living, one of the first stops they make to get to the truth. That you do not get the whole truth there and that you are even being duped by this agent is something that dawned quite early to me after half a year or something, and some people even do need longer than that. But it was always blaming the same stuff. He was always blaming it on the Jews and on the Bilderbergers and on the Zionists. And I got in the time when I started my research at that time, I started my YouTube channel that's called Drucker 66. And when I started that YouTube channel, I wrote, always do your own research. So when you write that to other people, you also have to do that for yourself. And I started looking into Bill Cooper, and I read his book Behold the Pale Horse and listened to a lot of his MP3 records that he has. And that already woke me up to that there is something behind that screen of Zionists and Jews and Bilderbergers and all that Alex Jones was talking about, because Bill Cooper was talking about the mystery schools. And so I was an atheist all my life, I have to admit. Because, you know, this world is run by Satan, but if you don't know that, then it all doesn't make sense, because then you always get taught that there is a loving creator that cares for you here, and then you have open eyes and see what's going on in this world, then you see, well, this loving creator cannot love us very much. But when you come to the conclusion that actually Satan is running this world, then this world is quite fine. It's even almost perfect, to say. So when I opened my eyes to that fact, I came to the revelation that there is something much more going on, which I call the Vatican Jesuit New World Order, led by the Jesuits, founded in 1540 by St. Ignatius de Loyola, and led all the time by a black pope, of which we have today at least two, Peter Hans Kolbenbach and Adolfo Nicolas Pacion. And a lot of people say that even our white pope, Francis, is the black pope in the same person. I do not know about that. That is something to maybe discuss about, but I don't think it's so important. But important is what happened the last 5 years. That is, in 2008, you had Hans-Peter Kolbenbach to resign as the black pope, as the first black pope in the history of the Jesuits, which is a history of almost 500 years. And it never before happened that a black pope resigned from his post. And then was another black pope by name Adolfo Nicolas, was placed in that position. And now a few years later, you have beginning of this year, Pope Benedict resigning from his post, which is only the second white pope ever to resign from his post, and another pope placed there. And when you know the rules of the Jesuits, in rule number 13, says they have to work in hegemony, which means, okay, you have one that left in 2008 and was placed, and you have another that is a white pope that is has left in 2013, and another one that is placed, so that's working in hegemony. So there it all comes a little bit together for me. That's a little bit about my story, if I can leave it like this, if that made you a little bit smarter on me.
Okay, thank you, Jörg. And our other guest is Wayne Michael. He's the webmaster of Avenue of Light. Well, tell us, Mike, tell us a little bit about your site, a brief, you know, we got a little time element we got to play with, but tell me the tell me about your website and what makes you tick. Just a second.
I find it an honor and a pleasure, and may God be leading us and his son, Yeshua, directing us and leading us to hopefully bless all the listenership that come here, and it, may it just increase and increase and increase, that the truth may get out as these end days we live in. They're so near. And I, myself, as a child, I was born and raised in Maryland. And this is where the seed is, and this is where it all began. And the Jesuits founded this nation in 1634, which nobody exposes. The good Messiah led me, when I was in the fourth grade, to go to the Enoch Pratt Library. Was on Pratt Street. I wasn't a student. I didn't like school. Certainly I despised history. But I was led there. And as I walked in and sat down in this room, it had the most hugest portraits of the Carroll family, the Calvert family, and the kings and the royalty of England. And I had no idea why these other people were there, Lord Baltimore and so forth. But on my website, the people were encouraged to go read the article I've named a time such as this, and will bring perfectly into clear vision for these people exactly why he led me there during that time. I, as York and yourself, Walter, have been in the dark and prayed all my life to the Father that I'd be not deceived and that I might endure to the end. I've been plagued like Job has. And you see, these things can make people bitter, and they blame God. But you see, like York said, this is Satan's controlled planet. And he has taken upon himself the mirrored image of our Father and his Son. So the people said, well, God is just wicked and evil. Well, that's what he wants you to believe. That's not the case, nor is that their character, either one of them. And they can't be both. Now, the scripture had been altered in many places, including the King James, by the Jesuits. And it stated, you know, he created evil. His character can't be evil and good, too. It just can't. He's one or the other. And that'd be contradictory against itself. You see, like Pharaoh, as well as Satan, when they were created perfect. The Bible depicts that perfectly. But because of their own choosing of their heart, during pride, being puffed up, and carrying the title the Pope today carries, Pontifex Maximus, which is the high priest of the system of Lucifer sun worship, which is Babylon mystery religion, and where the number 666 comes from, they had the same prideful mindset to control this planet. And I, as you two gentlemen, have dedicated my life to spare and no expense, the truth, to shed the light that God has given me to the people. I'm totally against advocating arms against the government. The people said, well, thou shalt not murder. That's the commandment, thou shalt not kill. Yes, there is a difference. There's no doubt about it. But I also like to encourage the people to look. And when the Messiah was in the garden, and Peter and the guards came upon him, and Peter cut the high priest's servant's ear off. I think, I don't remember his name now. It begins with an M. It's not Malachi. But anyhow, it might be Malachi. Anyway, the Messiah said to him, you know, have I been with you so long, like, you still don't get it? And I would like to end that with this, that people have not heard, nor seen, nor read, nor taken notice of this scripture. It comes from the book of Genesis, out of chapter 9 and verse 6. And it says, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. And it says, and you, be ye fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. That certainly doesn't say thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not kill. I mean, it's the people have twisted everything there is and allowed this evil spirit of destruction and condemnation to enter into their hearts. The scripture says, you know, those with ears to hear and eyes to see. Now, not everyone's going to have this. There are vessels that were built for destruction, the scripture says. And these people were all caught up in sun worship, going to these buildings on Sunday, being led astray by these so-called preachers, pastors, and whatever, deacons, and whatever names they all carry, because they're all Jesuit-trained, Jesuit theology, starting at Georgetown University, have all these universities carried forth the same Ignatius spirituality, the dumbing down of America. And Roosevelt really brought this forth. And the people, you see, I asked the people, Walter, I said, how can you fight your enemy when you don't even know who your enemy is? And they just are complacent. And to try to awaken them to understand that the Jesuits are behind and have been behind every war that's been on this planet since their creation, it's almost an impossibility. And so, and I want to bring this to the close, that my other mission is to announce the second coming of Yeshua, to let the people know the greatest advent in man's 6,000-year reign on this earth is known, is made known to his people. They say no man knows the day or the hour. I agree to that. Number one, that was before he ascended to the throne. He said that we would do greater works than he. No, I'm not trying to be God nor his son. They're his words. But I assure you, it tells you, the day they set this man of sin up, the final Antichrist in Jerusalem, that it shall be a literal 1,260 days, a literal 42 months, equaling time times and a half, time times and the dividing of time, all equaling 3.5 literal years.
Yeah. You know, we're a little getting short on time here, Mike. I'd like to, I don't want to interrupt you, but this, I wanted to, this is an introduction, and we're going to cover that more more in depth on this broadcast. But there's a question I wanted to ask both of you. Who is the biblical historian? Who is the biblical, historical, and prophetic Antichrist that is described in the Bible?
Well, as the matter to be Antichrist, I have to say the same thing that Martin Luther said when he recognized the Pope of Rome as being the Antichrist. So what the problem for a lot of people today in their belief system is that they are waiting for an Antichrist to come, and they just don't see that he is already here since almost 2,000 years. I mean, then more than 2,000 years. I mean, in 300 and something, the Vatican was founded and the Roman Catholic Church was founded. But before that, the Antichrist was the Caesar of Rome. So the Caesar, or the Antichrist, has always been here. And I absolutely agree with Martin Luther and all the other Protestants that were identifying the Pope of Rome, the Vicar of Christ, which is his title. And Vicar means in the place of or anti Christ, so he even wears it in his title. There is no doubt for me that that is the person that we are looking for.
And Mike, you answered the same question. Who is the biblical, historical, and prophetic Antichrist that is described in the Bible? Make it kind of short, but I mean, I want to lay a foundation where
it's God's enemy.
Where we're going.
It's God's enemy. It's his son's enemy. It was spoken of as the sixth head that Paul referred to that was in power during the time John was banished to Patmos. It is the Pope of Rome. There is no other, can it be? The scarlet and purple and all the other depictions the Book of Revelation and Daniel give is a clear indication of who this enemy is. And I would like to add just one short thing before I stop. One thing I have to add to what York said, and I do not disagree in any way, shape, or form. He said these three black popes. Francis is indeed a Jesuit, as is the vice president of our country, Joe Biden. But the point I want to make is this, and I'll be silent, is the importance is they now have their Babylonian trinity with these three black Jesuit priests.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Walter.
Yeah. Well, and I want to ask another question. Just be real brief. I mean, this is not a trick question. But is the Pope Catholic?
No. No, he's as Catholic as Satan.
Yeah, but and what is he? You know, he's not Catholic, but
no, he's a Satanist.
Yes, he is. But
he's not Catholic, not Christian. He doesn't believe in anything in these old Babylonian religions.
Yes, and he is a Jesuit.
he is a Jesuit. Yeah. He was a high provincial of South America.
Okay. we only got 15 minutes left, and I was going to play a clip on Chris Pinto. We're going to get into that next week, but what we're going to, where we're going with this, the goal, you see, is the fact that America has, from the beginning, been taught that 1492 Columbus sailed the ocean blue, and then we had a president in 1776, and this country was Christian. I wanted to start with Chris Pinto's, but we've run out of. I got to do that next week, but Mike, I'd like to have you give a little bio. Because the reason we want to talk about George Washington, you see, George Washington was a neighbor to Charles Carroll. Charles Carroll was the largest slave owner in the colonies. He had over 400 slaves, and Washington had a couple hundred. And the point I want to make here, you see, George Washington. And David Barton, and there's a whole, I'm using the word David Barton, but there's a whole army out there of people that profess that the founders were Christian. And it's simply not true. We're going to get into it a little bit more next week with more documentation. But right now, Mike, I want you to give me some bio on George Washington.
Okay. He was offered the presidentship second to the great-great-great-great-great-grandson of James, and he declined because he had no heir. And then it was given to George Washington. He lived right across the river from the Carroll, as you partially mentioned. Anyhow, in 1783, he was elected, George Washington now, was elected the first president of the Order of Cincinnatus. Henry Knox was the secretary of the society who created the society's concept, and it was named after Lucius Quintus Cincinnatus. It was founded, which is very extremely important for the people to hear, and I will go into a little further detail about this just a little bit. It was founded to preserve the ideals and the fellowship of the American Revolutionary War. That's just utterly amazing. Preserve the ideals and fellowship of the American Revolutionary War. Cincinnati, Ohio is named after the society. The founding member, Pierre Elefant from France. And on June 19th, 1783, they adopted the bald eagle as their insignia, the same as Rome. It was created by Elefant. He later was chosen to design the layout of D.C., which is in a satanic pentagram leading into the White House. And that's on my site, an aerial photograph from the Smithsonian. I encourage all to look at that. The front of the medal depicts Cincinnatus receiving his sword from the Roman senators. I have a question. Do we not have the same Roman Senate operating from Capitol Hill today in Washington, D.C., the District of Columbus? On the reverse, Cincinnatus is featured as his plow being crowned of the figure of Phoebe, who is a personification of fame and is the daughter of Gaia, which is Mother Earth, which is witchcraft. And many people in high places are behind all these things. Their flags, 14 stars, equaling 13 colonies and one for France. And they have 14 constituent societies. King James, oh, I'm sorry, I already read that. Washington was elected the first president of what I name Romerica, which is the eighth head of Revelation. The French chapter received official permission to form by King Louis XVI of France himself. Now today, this goes back to that little phrase I put out, the society promotes efforts to increase public awareness and memory of the ideals and actions of the men, now listen, who created the American Revolution. And that, my friends, refers to the Jesuit order. Now, Manly Hall's quote will verify this, and there's many others out here that do also. It says, not only were many of the founders of the United States government Masons, but they received aid from a secret and august body existing in Europe, which helped them establish this country for a peculiar and particular purpose, known only to the initiated few, which is the 32nd and 33rd degree Masons. And the great seal of the reverse of the U.S. $1 bill is the signature of this exalted body, unseen, for the most part, unknown and unfinished pyramid. Upon its reverse side is a trestle board setting forth symbolically the task to the accomplishment of which the United States government was dedicated from the day of its inception. It comes from the Seek and Teachings of All Ages, pages XC and XC1. A few other presidents that have been elected from this order of Cincinnatus: Franklin Pierce, Andrew Jackson, Zachary Taylor, James Buchanan, Ulysses S. Grant, Grover Cleveland, Benjamin Harrison, William McKinley, Theodore Roosevelt, William Wilson, Warren Harding, Herbert Hoover, Franklin D. Roosevelt, Harry S. Truman, Ronald Reagan. My handwriting is a little sloppy, please forgive me. I wrote this in a hurry to put this together. George Herbert Walker Bush. And many Cincinnatus members were among the first board members and contributors of the American Philosophical Society. Perfect Jesuit trait, spirituality. And other members include the Postmaster General Benjamin Franklin, FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover, Secretary Henry Cabot Lodge, Secretary of State Daniel Webster, Henry DuPont, and Alexander Hamilton. And that's pretty much a conclusion of what I've put together, just to share a little brief of this, that he was not a Christian in any way, shape, or form, but he was a deist. So, thank you, Walter. I ask, are you still there, Walter? I guess not.
Excuse me, I had my mic muted. Excuse me.
Oh, okay. Great.
Well, we're getting down a little to running out of time, but I think 45 minutes is a good time. There's a lot of information to be put out here, but there's something that I always want, and I say it repeatedly, and I like to put an imprint into, because everybody has got a version of false history. We have been we've been brought up in America, and it's not only in America, but more so in America, we are believing in something that never existed. I mean, and the point of it is, the point to be made in this broadcast is, in the goal of this broadcast is to just fully understand that this government is a cult. It was a cultic from the beginning.
Correct.
And one of the reasons for this is because there was less than 1% Catholic at the beginning, and 99%. Protestant, and also in the original 13 colonies constitution, it was right in their constitution. I've had it read to me, okay, that you had to be a Protestant to hold office.
That's correct.
You have to get a grip on this. You have to get a
and
grip
they were
on
not
it.
Allowed and, to hold their mass and or just honors December the 25th, which is the birth date of Saul Invictus, and that's important. Anyway, go ahead.
Yes, I'm just going to throw some tidbits out. I mean, like November 5th is Guy Fawkes Day, and this pertains to George Washington. He was a Roman sympathizer. November 5th is Guy Fawkes Day. And over here in the colonies, they were burning the Pope in effigy. Well, the first thing that George Washington did is he outlawed that. In other words, and also his stepchildren went to Georgetown University, and there's even a, they have a hall there at Georgetown University where George Washington used to speak, and they call it George Washington Hall. And I cannot prove this. I've looked around, but you know, it's real suspicious of the word Georgetown. You know,
absolutely.
You know, and the only thing you'll find on the internet is there was four or five guys in town that were named George, so they called it Georgetown. I mean, that's a,
but
you know,
it doesn't destroy history, so nobody can search.
Yes. And one thing I want to make real clear here. In no shape, way, or form is the United States government a Protestant government.
No, absolutely not.
The Freemasonry is ecumenical. And listen, Catholicism is ecumenical. And so, in other words, Freemasonry is universalism. You know, and Catholicism is universal. This can be said that this nation is a Catholic nation.
Right.
If you're gonna hide a tree, hide it in the forest.
Well, this is the very image of the beast of Revelation in Daniel, and it is set up to be the watchdog, the militant enforcer, to put the chip in the whole world. And the scripture says this will take place. The whole world wonders after the beast. Uh-huh. His name is not written in the book of life from the foundation. So,
we're getting down to the. Would you like to make any? You have any comments, Yerk?
Yeah, I was quite listening, because that's very interesting. You guys always say, because of course this is about the founding of America in 1776. But as you know, from my background, I'm coming from Germany. And I'm the second generation after the war, and we have our own problems to solve there. But the problem today in our society is that, I mean, Mike said in the beginning that he didn't like, when he go to school, that he didn't like history classes. I loved history classes. I was always good in that. But They don't tell you all the stuff. And when I was young, I wanted to be a journalist, and I wanted to be a researcher, I wanted to be an archaeologist. That all didn't turn out, but the interest is still there. So now I'm digging into history, since the internet has given us the opportunity to learn real history, because everything else that is told to us is a lie. Everything else told to us is a lie. Every media outlet, whether it's newspaper, television, or whatever, it's all a lie. So you have to rely on alternative media and see what that comes through. Mm-hmm. And there's one maybe small little point that I want to make about the founding fathers and saying the 13 colonies all were Protestants. When you read the Jesuit Oath, there is a section in where it reads that you will be a Protestant among the Protestants. So, by my understanding up to now of history of the United States of America, it is that the Jesuits infiltrated the Protestantism like that. And by that meaning, they have the chance to turn that country around from Protestantism to the Catholicism that it is today.
Absolutely.
You see, this is what I read. This was since the day of its inception, out of Manly P. Hall's mouth, that this country was founded, set up, directed, controlled, and led by the Jesuits, which three of them, Father Andrew White and two others, came over here on the first ship, the Ark and the Dove, in 1634. And that's swept under the history books, too. He came from the Isle of Wight. And it's strange that the White House is named the White House. The same as White Marsh is named, but you know.
Okay. Well, listen, we've run out of time. I don't want to just cut off. Thanks for coming, Yerk and Mike. We'll be back here at the same time next week. And thanks for everybody for listening. Bye for now.
Thanks for having me on.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Walter.
Goodbye. You bet. See you later.
Goodbye. God bless.